الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, with respect to our continuing discussion with regard to Surah Al-Asr, as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and said, generally speaking, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرَ Allah said, everyone, all humankind is in qasara, is in loss. Except for some people. And yesterday we mentioned that the first category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned is إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا except those who have iman. And as I mentioned, with respect to iman, it consists of all that we understand with respect to our aqidah. It concerns all that we understand with respect to following of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of this is part of iman. There are two ways of understanding these four things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ One is to understand this as four categories, but perhaps the better and more correct way of understanding it as four qualities of the believer. It is not four categories of people. It's not إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Allah did not say إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ So Allah is mentioning these as together as one, part of four qualities of the believer, not as four separate believers, or somebody who has iman but no amal salih, that's not the meaning of it. So therefore, that is how I want to remind myself and present it to you. So first quality, as we said yesterday, was iman. So to reflect on our own lives and see what is the state of our iman. And as I mentioned yesterday, it consists of two things. One is the knowledge itself. So what do we know about our aqidah? What do you actually believe? Like I said yesterday, the tragedy is that if somebody asks you directly and says, what do you believe? Most people can't even answer that question. So what are you talking about? You are a Muslim means what? For most of the people, being a Muslim is a cultural statement. It's not a thought out religious statement. It's a cultural statement. I'm a Muslim means I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a Sikh, I'm not a Christian. That's all it means. Nothing else. It's an identifier, it's a cultural statement. It's like saying I'm an Indian. But if I tell you, oh, you are Indian, very nice. So can you tell me anything? Can you quote me something from the Constitution? Because if you are an Indian, the supreme document from the perspective of being an Indian is the Indian Constitution. So do you know anything about the Indian Constitution? How many seats are there in the Indian Parliament? How many people can answer this question? Because I am in India. What is the meaning of that? What does it mean? It means I am not African, I am not Eurasian. So it's more a statement of race or more a statement of nationality perhaps. Doesn't mean anything. So similarly, when we say I am a Muslim, for most people it really means nothing. I mean, it's a cultural statement. But that is not how Islam intends it. Islam intends it that it should not be a cultural statement. Muslim means you have understood Islam, you have consciously accepted Islam, and that you are living by Islam. That is the meaning of a Muslim, not somebody who just a name tag. So how do you do that? First quality, iman. So learn about iman. Secondly, have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, aminu. Allah said, oh, you who believe, believe. What does it mean? Oh, you who believe means the ayah is addressing the believers. Then what is there to believe? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, aminu. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa. Oh, you who believe, enter into Islam completely. Oh, you who believe means people who believe means as far as that is, we understand it. We are already believers. We are already in Islam. If I'm not in Islam, then how are you calling me a believer? And that would be my argument. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not interested in our arguments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh, you who believe, enter into Islam fully. Meaning that there are believers and believers. There are people who simply say, I believe. But he doesn't even know what he believes. So understanding the aqidah, learning about the aqidah, very, very important. I'm not saying you need to write a book on aqidah. or even that you need to teach Aqeedah, but at least you should know what you believe. What is your belief about Allah? What is your belief about Rasulullah? What is your belief about the Malaika, the Kitab of Allah, and so on and so on. So very important for us to learn this. So the Aqeedah. Then to consciously believe in that. And the third part is to actually follow it, have yaqeen on it. Have tawakkul on Allah. Have yaqeen on Allah on the Day of Judgment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He said, people who وَبِالْآخِرَتِهُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. People, what's the who are the believers? Who are the people who will get hidayah? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Who are they? People who have وَبِالْآخِرَتِهُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. Who have yaqeen on the akhirah. So bringing those qualities inside. This is part of the iman. The second quality is إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Who have iman, people who have iman and who do good deeds. Now please understand this, good deeds is not some random statement that you did something. No. Good deeds refers specifically to the aspects of Islam and the Islamic way of life, which are five. Aqidah, iman, aqidah, ibadah, akhlaq, muamilat, muashara. The creed, the belief, worship, ibadah, then akhlaq, which is our manners, the way we deal with people, then muamilat, our transactions with people, and muashara, our society and our culture which we create and we live in. Now if you take, if you combine aqidah and ibadah, as because they are almost the same thing, aqidah is what you believe in and ibadah is you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you combine these two, so there are four. Now out of the four, if you take aqidah and ibadah as one, and these are huququllah. So illa alladhina amanu refers to huququllah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. Akhlaq, muamilat and muashara are huququl ibad, are the rights of the people on us. So three out of the four refer to the people. And this is the beauty of Islam. And this is what we forget. We think that da'wah consists of lectures and distributing pamphlets and arguing with people and debating and, you know, going on the street and meeting people and telling them, do you know Islam? No. Da'wah is the practice of Islam. Islam spread because people fell in love with Muslims. Islam spread because people loved the idea of the Muslim way of life. Today all this sounds very strange. It sounds as if I'm speaking in Mandarin or something. Because we have got so used to living in the opposite way that somebody loving the Islamic way of life sounds like a very strange thing. How can somebody love the Islamic way of life? Because even I don't love it. Because we don't practice it, so we have no clue. So akhlaq, muamilat and muashara. Illa ladina amanu wa amilu salihat. Wa amilu salihat refers to these things. So amilu salihat is not only charity. It's not only, because charity, part of charity is also ibadah, so, you know, but it's not only that. It's the basic akhlaq, and that is why Rasulullah ﷺ went into such detail and he mentioned such so-called apparently small things. Because whatever the Nabi says is not small, but it seems to be small in some cases. For example, Nabi ﷺ said, a smile is sadaqah. He said, smile at your brother, a smile is sadaqah. But people, like some people, you know, they walk around with these funereal expressions on their faces. I don't know why. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, removing an impediment from the street, the nail or a thorn or something on the street, removing this itself is a good deed. He said, haya is part of iman, just dignity. Now, apparently small things, what's so big about smiling? Shaking hands, musafaha, shaking the hand of a brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins for this. Literally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. I can imagine, I mean, all I'm doing is I'm shaking hands. But Allah is forgiving sins for this. Why? Because this is how you influence people. This is how you win the hearts of people. By smiling, by shaking. Kuch Nothing. You, what does it cost to smile? What does it cost to shake hand? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins for this. Apparently small things, but they are not small. They are very significant things. Akhlaq. Second one, Mu'amilat. Now this is something which, may Allah forgive us, this is something we neglect, we forget. Please understand, Mu'amilat, if you make an agreement with somebody, the witness to that agreement is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you like it or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, in what is the longest ayat of the Quran, which is full 15 lines, if you read the Uthmani script, the whole page is one ayah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned specifically mu'amilat, specifically transactions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, record the transaction. He said, have two witnesses. And Allah said, if there is no witness, then Allah is the witness. So if you enter into a transaction, that transaction may be for, 10 naya paisa or something, and 5 paisa. We don't even have those coins anymore. I remember a time when we used to have a 1 paisa coin also. It is not the quantum, or it's not the value or monetary value of the transaction which has any significance. No. It is the fact that you made a mahida, that you made an agreement. And if you do not fulfill that agreement, then on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold your neck for that agreement, believe me. Make no mistake. Make no mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will catch your neck on the day of judgment for that agreement. A man said to Rabbi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said he wanted to meet him, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will meet you at such and such a place. He said, tomorrow at such and such a place, I will meet you at this time. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there. Now this man forgot. So he didn't turn up. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited there for maybe 1 hour or whatever it was. Then he went home. Next day he went again. Third day he went again. Now third day the man remembered. He came running, Ya Rasulullah, I'm very sorry, I apologize, I forgot, and so on. So, Nabi said, you forgot, I didn't forget. I made a mahavada with you. I said, I will meet you, I have to meet you. And this is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just a meeting, it was not as if there was some big thing happening. No, he said, I'll meet you. Today, we have made this issue of mu'amilat such a joke. That quite literally, if you tell someone, I will meet you, tomorrow I will meet you, inshallah, people say, hey boss, are you going to meet me or not? What is this inshallah? Remember, you are bringing a bad name on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of your attitudes. Inshallah has become a joke. Inshallah has become a joke. Astaghfirullah, may Allah forgive us. Why? Because our word has no value, nothing, zero. So we tell people, I will do this, I will do that, I will meet you, nothing has any value. All this is just hot air, I will do this, I will do that. Then where do you go from here? But remember, nobody, whether anybody does anything, doesn't do anything, all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness, and on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will catch your neck. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if somebody owes money to someone, he said, Allah will not give him Jannah until that debt is paid. That is why people don't do all this nowadays, but they should do it. Before you read Salatul Janazah, it is the job of the Imam who is leading the Salatul Janazah to announce and say, does this person owe anyone anything? And if the person owes something to somebody, who is standing guarantee for that? Who is going to pay those things? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do this. He used to do this and he used to say, I will pay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take it on himself. Yeah, this is the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would say, does this man, Ya Rasulullah, this man owes me some money. Is there anybody, does the man have anyone to pay? People are silent because maybe there is nobody. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, I will take it on myself, I will pay it for him. Why? Because Allah will not give him Jannah unless this debt is settled. Can you imagine? I owe you 20 rupees. That 20 rupees will keep you from Jannah. Allah did not say it has to be debt over so much money. No. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. So imagine now we enter into this agreement, that agreement. You have not fulfilled the agreement. You drop debt. Then what happens to your Jannah? Then what happens? Muamilat. Very, very, very important. And the last one is an outcome of these two. The outcome of akhlaq and the outcome of muamilat is muashara. What is muashara? What is society? What is the environment? It doesn't happen by itself. You cannot have a beautiful muashara in which people are lying and cheating and no, you can't have that. The muashara is an outcome. It is a result of our individual actions. This is what people, today everybody will, you talk to anyone, they complain about the outside world, culture. Culture is bad, society is bad, my children are getting corrupted. And so on is happening. Where does it begin? The culture is an outcome. The culture is a result of individual actions. The culture of Medina of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time was beautiful because the Sahaba did not lie, they did not cheat. They were not nasty to one another. They were not involved in ikhtilafat. They were not printing pamphlets against one another. They were not standing on the minbar or standing somewhere and lambasting and character assassinating each other. They were not slandering each other. They were not doing ghibat of each other. So the environment was beautiful. It was beautiful because individuals behaved properly. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. So the muashara is an outcome of this. And see the beauty of this. Who suffers in a bad muashara? If your society is full of crime, if the society is a society where you cannot trust your own brother, if a society is characterized by lying and cheating and all kinds of filth, who suffers? The people living in the society. So if you muddy the waters in which you are swimming, you have to drink that muddy water. Nobody else. Nobody else. The muashara is the outcome of individual actions. It is the outcome of akhlaq and muamilat. Good manners and good dealings result in a good society. You don't want to have good manners, you don't want to have good dealings, then you will suffer because that dirty society is where you live. That dirty society is where you live. And I went to Australia, I tell you, it's such an amazing thing. We went to Perth. So this friend of ours, we had to go to the grocery store. So this friend of ours says, I'll come and pick you up and we have to go there and finish everything by 5:30. I said, oh, what's this 5:30? Why 5:30? He said, because the market shuts. After 5 p.m. there is no market. I said, why? It's very strange for us because our markets go until the middle of the night. So why? He said, because the government says the evening is for your family. Don't spend your time in the shops. Go and spend your time in the home. So no shops. Then we go to the grocery store. And to our great surprise, there are no checkout counters. So you take all your groceries. You walk to a place. There is a, on the wall there is a keypad. So, I bought 2 kilos of grapes, I bought one loaf of bread, I brought this butter, this jam and whatnot. You enter all the numbers there, it prints out the bill, you put your card, it prints out the receipt and you go. So, I said to the person, now supposing I buy 2 kilos of grapes, right? Supposing I don't put it there. He said, nothing, no problem, you can take it. I said, okay, instead of 2 kilos, if I put 1 kilo. He said, nothing, you can take it. So I said, then how does it work? He said, because people don't do that. He said, people do not do that. And very logical, if everybody did that, this system would break. I mean, the shop people are not crazy, you know. If they can take a loss to a point, I mean, which is like shoplifting and so on, and so which will happen anyway. I mean, even if you have checkout counters, even if you have security guards and, you know, CCTV cameras or whatnot, somebody will steal and so on. So, some shoplifting will happen. So, there is always some leeway in terms of your sale price, which takes care of something. But if everyone is doing that, if people are just clearing out the store, naturally, this system will not work and they will stop doing that system. That is the common system. You get into a bus, there's no bus conductor. Only the driver. You just punch in your place where you are going, it tells you the ticket, drop the money, go. Nobody stops you. You can walk in and walk out. So, who is benefiting? Now, think about this. Who is benefiting from that clean environment? Me? You? We live in India. We don't benefit from that environment. Who are benefiting from that environment? The people living in Perth. Who has time to go home to their families because there are no shops and malls and pubs and God knows what else, you know, to corrupt those people. So, if you create a good environment, it happens from yourself, then you benefit. And conversely, if you do the opposite, you suffer. And this is what Islam is saying. This is what Islam is saying. Create a beautiful environment. How? By looking at your own self, by your own akhlaq and by your own mu'amilat. The mu'ashara will automatically come about. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ As I mentioned, Allah did not say إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Except the people who have iman or who do good deeds. So, pray in the masjid, have a big beard and have a turban on your head, and as soon as you step out of the masjid, lie, cheat, do what you want. This is not Islam, boss, please. This is not Islam. Keeping a beard is fard on the Muslim man. Keeping a beard is a sunnah. But believe me, if somebody thinks that they are going to enter Jannah because their beard is from their chin to their ankles while they are lying and cheating and slandering, you give me a break. That's absolute rubbish. No way. No way. One does not cancel out the other. One does not cancel out the other. On the contrary, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Allah said, verily the salah separates you and removes you and keeps you apart and takes this away. What? Fahsha'i wal munkar. Rebelliousness, shamelessness, and disobedience of Allah. So, if somebody is praying and lying, then that salah is useless for him. That salah is not doing for him what it is supposed to do. If somebody is praying and if they are cheating, then that salah is worthless for him, because it is not doing what it's supposed to do. The effect of the ibadah must come in the action. You can't say, I pray tahajjud every day and then I make this wird of so many azkar of this much and that much, and then all of that is fine. All of that brings you to the threshold, to the zero. That must be reflected in the akhlaq. If it is not reflected in the action, it has no value. It has no value. So, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ I remind myself and you, let us focus on our amal. And with specific reference to akhlaq and mu'amilat. The mu'ashara, the culture, the society is an outcome of these two. Inshallah, we ask Allah to give us a beautiful culture and society, but that will happen only and only if we change our ways. The time to make tawbah is now, because we don't know when we will die. And believe me, you don't want to die with people's debts and people's contracts and things you have to do for people. Please make tawbah. You don't want to die with all that in your account. So seriously, let us correct ourselves and ensure that we do what we are supposed to do for people, that we completely discharge the huquq of people. And as I mentioned before, it's not a matter of small and big. It's not a matter of small and big. How we treat people, how do we talk to people? How do you talk to your wife? How do you talk to your children? How do you talk to the people on the street, to your servants, to your employees? All of this is part of akhlaq and mu'amilat. All of this is part of akhlaq and mu'amilat. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from ourselves and to save us from doing things which on the day of judgment will become or can become a problem for us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.